Hello and welcome. We're glad that you have decided to join us by listening to our featured Sermon of the Week. This week's message was presented by Pastor Henry Wright and entitled, Start Where You Are. We hope that you enjoy this message and that God uses it to bless, encourage, and teach you while you listen.
Open your Bibles to the book of John. The book of St. John, that is, the fourth gospel. And we will take another look at an old story. Verse 28 just captured me a few weeks ago. The woman then left her water pot. She went to get water, but she forgot about the water. And went her way into the city, and saith to the men. Let's pray. We join with the young people in saying, thank you, Lord. In spite of what we've been through, thank you. Now we worship you in your word. Speak to us in Christ's name. Amen. Men. It seemed to her from her earliest and first awareness, until this very day in which I will focus, men had been an issue in her existence. Just men. She had blossomed early. And even the counsel from older women who could see that she would have asset management issues, she still often found herself the object of appraising looks that made her want to run and hide. Men. When she tried to smile the inappropriate advances away, that was misunderstood. If she was haughty, that was misunderstood. When she was actually interested in the person making the advances, that often led to complications because their agenda was different from her agenda. Men. As she grew up and her physical attributes became exceptional, she could not help but have some pride. But there were times when she felt as much cursed as blessed. Her decisions about men had not always been wise in many cases. She often let her heart get in front of her head. But because men always seemed to be there around, willing, she had learned a lot about the opposite sex. On this particular day, she followed her usual practice, waiting until midday to go to the town center and retrieve her daily supply of water. Age had been good to her, though now in her mid-40s, she still more than held her own amongst women of any age. But she'd become used to that, and she had ceased to be impressed by it. She, in fact, was sometimes intimidated by it. Why would the Lord give me this problem? The town where she lived, was a cauldron of gossip. No one had any private business, and even when you tried to keep your stuff to yourself as she did, they would just make something up. Unfortunately, her lifestyle had given them much to make up. As she walked through the streets to the center of town, her head was held high, even slightly defiant. Let them think what they will, she thought. You see, there was some shame in her. She had been with 5 different men in the town. It could have been more. She had no close female associates. She was envied by the women, and with the men, she was like a flask of wine handed from one thirsty drinker to another and then left laying on the table, empty and unclaimed. The sun and the sky beamed down at high noon, embracing her olive skin, pouring over well-formed cheekbones, thick eyelashes, shaded dark eyes. And behind those eyelashes and those eyes was the soul of an unfulfilled person. The women she passed by ignored her. The men she passed by tried. If only she had known that on this day, the sun had risen, on a victim, but would set on a victor. My subject, from victim to victor. The focus is mission. Mission. And I've preached about Herod, who lost his hope in the Lord. I've preached about the unnamed priest who became dull in his life work and held the Lord Jesus Christ in his arms and didn't even know it. I've preached about Revelation 10, eating the book of God, which is sweet to taste and sour going down. And we've learned from that as you accept God's word in your life, there will be charge and trouble. There will be challenge and temptation. But the end result is that word will purge you and lead you to prophesy, to have something to say as a result of the experiences you've been through. Then we studied Enoch and learned from him that mission and a spirit from mission that prompts you to accept Christ's commission begins with 2 things: becoming aware of your own desperate need, and that awareness generates in you a desire to help others in their need. And then last week we talked about Noah, didn't we? Who found out that to do God's mission, you must be ready to sacrifice everything. But today, I want to talk to you about how God will take the worst things in your life, your worst failures, the big gaps in your life, and turn them into your triumphs. The things in your life that plague you, the problems that always seem, Eric, to keep coming up, are not necessarily things that are bad. They're just things you've never put in God's hands. The Bible paints the story. Verse 5 of John 4. Then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Verse 6, now Jacob's well was there, the Bible says. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the 6th hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. Have you ever really thought about what's going on in this particular passage? Jesus is not asking really for water. He's asking for her. Let me have you, says Jesus. You see, it was the Vale of Shechem. Here Abraham, when he came to Palestine, erected his first altar and pitched his first camp there. Jacob moved to this very same area, and tradition says that Jacob dug a well there. It was a beautiful spot, surrounded by trees and green. There was a breeze that usually caressed the area. This well exists today. It is one of the spots we can still locate in terms of the Bible. This spot was home to this woman, and Jesus knew exactly where she was. See, many times what your life, listen to the pastor, many times what your life is a flowing series of moments leading you to an ultimate encounter with your Savior, Jesus Christ. A lot of stuff going on that seems bad is actually pushing you toward God. And there is that moment when he invades your space. Who was this woman anyhow? Who was this woman anyhow? Verse 18. For thou hast had five husbands. That's past tense. And he whom thou now hast, number six, is not thy husband. And that saidest thou truly. Verse 18 tells us that she was civilly married, but not biblically married. Verse 18 also reveals that she was very unsuccessful in interpersonal relationships. She had lived with five different men, and the one she was now with was not a godly union. Five different men, and the one she was now with was not a godly union. She was an embarrassed woman, according to verse 17. She tries to avoid revealing to Jesus her real living situation. Look at verse 17. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. She's trying to flank Christ. The problem is, Christ knows all the stuff you're not saying. So she's a dishonest person. Her attempts to deceive Jesus indicate a trend of cover-up, a tendency to say whatever gets her through the moment. She's a woman, verse 6, who is afraid and alienated from her own kind. The time of day that she shows up at the well is the sixth hour. That's noontime. Nobody goes in Palestine to get water at noontime. She goes when the other women would not be at the well. Heat of the day. Why is she there? At least she could come and draw water without dirty looks and cynical, cutting remarks. Why is she there? She could avoid the chill of everyone suddenly going quiet when she walked up. Have you ever had that feeling? Yes, she's there because she could escape the pain of struggling to draw water by herself because nobody's going to help her. She's there because some of the women who come and draw water were with some of the men she's been with. She's a prejudiced woman. Her statements in verse 9 reveal she's a stereotype, has a stereotyped view of Jesus. He's a Jew. Why do you want water from me? You want water from the colored drinking fountain? She's also an angry woman. For the mistreatment she expects to get from Jesus is usually the kind of mistreatment she gets from other people, even those, Ellen White says, in the church. So you see, here's an attractive woman. She's been desired by at least five different men openly, which is interesting when you consider the Palestinian culture. For a man to have a woman who's been with another man in the same town means she must be quite a woman, because most men wouldn't do that. But she's a damaged person. She was reduced not to living, but just existing. She's a person, and this is going to get close to some of you. She's a person whose every day reminds her of the life that she has lived. And her problem has always been men. When she got to the well, there was a man sitting there. I want you to pay close attention to this sermon. She was unnerved because she had particularly chosen this time of day hoping no one would be at the well. But she knew how to deal with men, so she would ignore him. But to her shock, Jesus had no intention of being ignored. He spoke to her. Aren't you glad today that Jesus doesn't wait on us to make the first move? If he did, most of us would go to hell. Christ moves toward us. There was something about this man when he spoke to her. She sensed no hidden agenda. There was no leading line that suggested a hint toward a future liaison. She had had problems like this all of her life, I believe. And there was something growing in her as the conversation progressed. She couldn't articulate it mentally, but something was definitely different. One thing for sure, he looked at her as if she was somebody. Somebody with value. And she didn't feel undressed by his keen look, but she did feel permeated by his steady gaze. Her walls of inner protection were going down. Why is this important? In this congregation that I preach to, and in the world that I live in, are people full of things to hide. See, the nicest thing Jesus does is let you dress up on Sabbath morning in a nice dress and a shirt and tie and walk in church with your dignity. Somebody better say amen. That's the kindest thing that Jesus does. Because beneath those dresses and beneath those suits and beneath those ties and shirts is a whole lot of stuff we don't want nobody to know. Some of us sit on unspeakable acts that if it were exposed, we just wouldn't show our face at CPC anymore. Many times these acts are things that have been repeated, and like the one at the woman at the well, we seem to be our own worst enemy. So we become distrusting of self, but more, we begin to wonder if maybe there isn't something wrong with me, because we keep on making the same mistake over and over again. We're like the words of the Apostle Paul, found in Romans 7, 15 through 17, but I'll read it in the Message Bible. He says, I realize that I do not have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to do good, but I really don't do it. I decide not to do bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't really result in actions. Something has gone wrong. Something, Paul is writing, something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. Can I get a witness in this place? But even as we study the life of Paul, we begin to see the working of God from victim to victor. Paul was the victim of a stern, judgmental spirit. He was zealous and unyielding about those with whom he disagreed. This was the basis of the fervor for which Paul persecuted the Christian church. What Christ did, listen to me, what Christ did was take charge of Paul's zeal. Take charge of Paul's fervor. Take charge of Paul's judgmental spirit and change it. And the result was that in the very area where Paul had been so destructive to the cause of Christ, he became its greatest champion. His zeal now was for the cause of Christ. He says, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them but dung that I may win Christ. If you hang in with the Lord long enough, the worst things about you, he turns into assets for glory. The liar becomes the preacher. The prostitute becomes the deaconess. The thief becomes the treasurer. Come on, y'all. He takes the very thing that was your demise and he blesses it with Holy Ghost power, and suddenly the thing that was eating you up now becomes a trophy for God's glory and power. Was it not the same with Peter? The man who spoke too soon, too fast, and often without forethought. If there was a person ever born who had hoof and mouth disease, it was the Apostle Peter. Do you recall him saying to Jesus at the close of the first communion, listen to him, Dent. Here's Peter talking. Go, all men be offended because of thee. Yet never will I be offended. Peter, sitting in church. The communion bread not yet digested in his gut. The taste of the grape juice still on his tongue. I will never be offended of thee. And then we fast forward 6 hours. How many did I say?
Six hours
and 41 verses later. And this same brother with the mouth. And I'm quoting him. I don't know him. I never knew him. And when they didn't buy it, then he added some four-letter words. Do you hear me? What part of this sentence don't you understand? I don't know him. But to show you what the Bible does with lives, just 50 days later, this same man, having drunk from the well of self-abnegation, gets to stand before a crowd of 3,000. And I would like to believe that some of those same people that he denied the Lord in front of that night were in that crowd, and they heard him open his mouth on his Pentecostal sermon and declare just as loud with as much mouth, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this same Jesus whom ye crucified both Lord and Christ. See, this is what amazes me about how God works. He takes people that we have written off. See, don't come talk to me about some young person in trouble. That young person's going to be your pastor one day. Just shut your mouth and let God work with them. Don't come to me talking about somebody who's tied up in drugs. God can get rid of drugs. Meanwhile, while you're talking about the person on drugs, he'll get rid of you. God takes situations that to us seem despicable. He just keeps working. He just keeps nudging. He just keeps picking. He keeps talking to the woman at the well. He opens her up. And before you know it, the very person that you decided wasn't going to be nothing becomes everything. I mean, the black race is a living example of this. Put in slavery for 430 years. Us. Reached the point where they were breeding us like cattle. Us. Men could not do anything but just work. Couldn't speak for the families. Us. Are you listening to me? Took us and just ground us in the dirt. But you see, when you've got God down inside of you, they made the mistake of giving us the Bible. They made the mistake of giving us the Bible. They made the mistake of giving us the Bible. They made the mistake of giving us the Bible. And we start reading in there. Woo! Then in the beginning, God created all things. And we got down there in Luke and found out that if you go back far enough, your ancestry winds up even beyond Adam, because Adam was the son of God. And those old nappy-headed, black, big-lipped people started reading that and started believing it. Straightened up their backs. And now they're running businesses and living in the finest neighborhoods and going to the best schools. God takes what's down and brings it up. They laughed at our music. Now they're singing it. Somebody say amen out there. So don't be so quick to write anybody off. Need I speak of the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears? Ultimately, in her life of sin, she'd looked to use her assets to gain favor, only to discover that it led to disdain. But when she found Jesus, then her very experience became an inspiration to us all. What does this have to do with the woman at the well? See, there's an underlying word that calls for our attention out of these examples and out of this Bible story. It's the word acceptance. Some of the dumbest things you've ever done in your life, you did trying to be accepted. Well, I guess I have to say the amen. 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 Just trying to be accepted, be in the in crowd. Do stuff that you know is questionable, but you dare not say, I don't want to do it. See, Satan is an expert at peer pressure. And you're sitting there quaking in your boots. Know you ought to get up and leave. But you don't want to do that. You might think you ain't got no guts. You may not be invited to the next party, so you go on and do the dumb thing. Acceptance. You see, next sentence. Listen, next sentence. I'm going to read it. Next sentence. Paul and Peter had gifts given by God, but they didn't have gifts given to God. See, these two fine young men who sang the lead. Did you hear them leading out? Ooh, singing. Voices given by God. Those two voices are unsafe till they're given to God. See, I have a subtitle to this sermon. The title is From Victim to Victor, but the subtitle is Start Where You Are. See, what God does, He takes the very thing that you've been tripping over and turns that into a stepping stone. Come on, y'all. People have all kinds of ways of achieving this. You have to find it. See, you know, if you are beautiful like this woman I described, if you are beautiful, if you fine, you better take fine to Jesus. Come on, y'all. If you a hunk, my brother, you know, you can't walk by without her looking. If you one of them kind, brother, you better take that hunkiness right on over to the Holy Ghost. Lord, grab the hunk in me. I'll say amen for you. Yeah. If you got money, you better take that money and give it to Jesus, or you'll spin yourself straight into Hades. If you have assets, if you have things that God has, some of us are smart as a whip. Some of us are so smart we can't carry on a normal conversation. We just deep all the time, deep in Sabbath school, saying all kind of profound stuff. Nobody knows what you're talking about now. Oh, have you heard Brother so-and-so this morning? Yeah, he's deep. Brother, what did he say? I don't know, but I know he's deep. Yeah. You better take that debt and give it to Jesus. Can I get a witness in this place anywhere? Assets, both physical, assets, both mental, not given to God, are dangerous. Any gift you have, not given to God, is dangerous. Some of you good with business, know how to make a dollar, you better give that thing to Jesus Christ. You'll become the biggest crook at CPC. Is this plain today? The woman at the well had a problem. Her problem, Carol, men. See, I'm going to show you what God does. See, I'm going to show you what my Jesus does. The woman at the well, out of some need of distortion we knew not of, had looked hither and yon for a place, a spot, a quiet corner of life where she felt safe. She had not found it. She had become empty. But more than that, she discovered life's cruelest irony. Listen downstairs. Get this downstairs. And that is, listen, these very excesses in which we indulge in order to drown out insecurities and find acceptance create an attic full of secrets. I've always been thankful, Herschel Smalls, that the church service actually changed from the old days. You remember the old days, don't you? Let me tell you about the old days, my brother. In the old days, you couldn't just visit CPC like you're doing today. You would have to bring a lamb for sacrifice. So when you came in, we'd say, here comes another sinner. Got the lamb dragging behind him. See? No secrets. Yeah, we'd start there, Joy. We'd have to have out there kind of a big cattle barn, big altar. And, of course, the pastor would have to start. And the pastors were required to offer up bulls. Did you see the pastor's bull this week? Yeah, child, rough week, red, big, fat bull. Yeah, so there was no secret sins at all. But now you can sit here, having had an abortion, nobody knows a thing. You can sit here with maybe in your past that you were in prison, and nobody knows a thing. You can sit here and still have liquor and tobacco at home, and nobody knows a thing. Secrets. And this woman had become an expert at hiding. I don't mean literally hiding behind some barricade. No, I mean the kind of hiding that most of us do. Hiding behind the bland looks and noncommittal responses when certain subjects come up, hoping the subject will change before anybody can read our face. Or hiding behind the barricade. I don't care. I don't care what they say. You do care. You're hurt down inside. You're ashamed of yourself. You care. You can't pull that bluff on God. He knows you're quaking inside at the thought of yourself. And then there's always that slim chance that somebody finds out. They find out. And the utter discomfort that some of us would experience is beyond description. So when she arrived at the well, I'm still there. She had every intention of ignoring this rascal. She was used to cold-shouldering people, and she knew how to handle this brother. He was big, she could tell, unusually tall. She went directly about her work. She tried not to be intimidated, but she could feel his eyes on her. And then he spoke with this melodic voice, arresting voice. And then it hit her like the force of a thrown rock. This big Jew was asking her for water. It's too late in the sermon to analyze the conversation. It's not even the purpose of the sermon. See, my message today, Eric, focuses on the results of the dialogue. After discussing several things, the conversation turns to a subject that allows Jesus to send the word of hope to every fearful soul who carries in their breast that deep, dark secret that you feel could cost you your self-acceptance. Go back to John 4. Go back to John 4, verses 16, 17, and 18. Now, I love the psychology of Jesus, Eric. Verse 16. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. It's a setup, Glenn. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus, this is cool. Said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband, in that saidest thou truly. What's going on here? Jesus, Leela, is beginning to lower her expectation of rejection. See, there's no snarl in his voice. He just quotes the facts. Yeah, you're right. You don't have a husband. You've had five, in fact, but the one you're with now is not your husband. You spoke the truth. You spoke the truth. And there's the rejection. So your problem has always been men. Jesus now permeates the worst problem in our life, shows no rejection at all. If only the church could get there. If we could take off these expressions and facials and tones that suggest, because this person has done so and so, they must be worse. When are we going to learn that there is no hierarchy? It's the Ten Commandments. It's the Ten Commandments. Amen. Not the Nine Commandments plus one big one. The Ten Commandments. Not the Eight Commandments plus two real bad ones. The Ten Commandments. It's all wrong. I'll say amen for you. It's all wrong. There is no hierarchy. Here's a man that knows her shame. She can't hide from him. Her worst nightmares are about to become reality. She does not understand that the victim is about to become victor. Christ does not expose us to shame us, but exposes us to heal us. But more, the story is not over. Christ's ministry to her must now become ministry through her. Verse 19. The woman said, now notice her reaction. He's just identified her sin. And she says, I perceive you're a prophet. So her shield is down. I'm talking to a prophet and he doesn't make me feel bad. Oh shoot, I guess I have to enjoy this by myself. And then they get into this discussion about how fathers worship, so forth and so on. And you know, Jesus is not redemption, all that, but he teaches her. Then the woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. You have just met your Lord. He's sitting here talking to you. He knows the worst thing about you, and he's embracing you with nothing but love. No wonder verse 28 is in the Bible. Sis leaves her water pot. Woo! I can't even remember why I snuck to the well. I can't even remember the shame that brought me there at noon rather than the morning. What I know is I've just met somebody, and this somebody makes me feel like somebody. But there's more going on than this. Got to finish now. There's more going on than this. You see, the book Christian Service says, the Lord has a place for everyone in his great plan. Talents that are not needed are not bestowed. This woman has a talent. Her talent is the ability to reach. She is comfortable with. Don't be afraid to say it. That's a gift. Well, somebody's getting a little nervous. That's a gift. Comfortable with, reaches, understands men. Now, Jesus is a sly fox. Next quote, page 100, Christian Service. Your duty cannot be shifted upon another. No one but yourself can do your work. The town is full of. And if you're going to win the town, which is full of, amen, you need somebody who can reach. Amen. I got her at the well. Come on, folk, wake up, wake up, wake up. I'm going to let her start right where she's comfortable. So the verse says, joy, and then this woman, oh my, my, my. Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and saith to the men. Saith to the men. Saith to the men. To the men. Can you see her? Yes, But now she's had other invitations now.
Yes.
She's invited them to other situations, Seeley.
Oh, mercy,
but now she's running full of the Holy Ghost power. There's a different kind of look on her face. There's a different kind of walk in her talk. And she's saying to them, and they can tell by the look on her face, something has happened since she left for the well. Come on, y'all. Come on, brothers. And the men who are used to responding to her call. But she says, we ain't going for that reason. Come see. And the Greek says, a real man. Who told me everything I've done. It has not left me feeling ashamed. Come see a man, y'all. A real man. Have mercy, Jesus. And the Bible says the whole town. Do you hear me?
Yes, sir.
See, start where you are. Just start where you are. Her specialty is men. So we're not going to send her to the ladies today. She just got converted. Let's take her where she's comfortable. Let's use the change in her to now change everybody else. See, God likes to take that thing where you've been messing up and now fix it up. The fact is not included in the narrative by accident. Start where you are, woman. These brethren have been your problem all your life. You have led them elsewhere, now lead them to Jesus. Money has been your issue all your life. Now that God possesses your heart, let him possess your wallet. Start where you are. Pride and arrogance have been your issue all your life, but now that Jesus owns your heart, start by apologizing to your wife and kids. Start where you are. Let the victim become a victor. Then speaking to the men of the city, boy, was she successful? Look. then, verse 30, then they went out of the city and came unto him. I wish you read Greek. The Greek says, every living man. What's this man? Yeah. Every living man left the town. Can you see the sisters in the city? There she goes again. But when they follow her out there, they find that they're not looking at the lady, they're looking at Jesus. And their hearts are changed and their minds are converted. And now she's safe where she lives. Again, she displays her power of the opposite sex. But it's a different now. She gets the men of the city to come to meet Jesus at her request. She did not feel dirty anymore. She did not have to hide. She was able to help an entire town find freedom. The sun rose that morning on a semi-prostitute. It set that evening on a sister of Jesus Christ. The sun rose that morning on a woman afraid of her biggest and greatest gifts, her beauty. The sun set that night on a woman who knew how to use her gifts for Jesus Christ. The sun rose that morning on a selfish woman only concerned about survival. It set that night on an evangelist who won a whole city for Jesus Christ.
We trust that this week's message was truly a blessing. If you have any questions about the message you heard or would like to contact a pastor for Bible studies, please let us know by selecting the Contact Us link on our homepage. Thank you again for joining us by listening, and remember to check back next week for another featured message.